Welcome, everyone, to yet another bonus episode of A Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489. Can't necessarily call it a retro episode or a regular episode because my co-host in crime, Mr. Cryptic, is not here. But it's also not a retro episode because the movie that I'm about to review in this bonus episode / Hulu review just came out, if I'm not mistaken. Geez, should have done some research on that one. Just this year, I believe. Let me go ahead and just read the description. Now, what it is reason I say bonus episode is because it can't be classified as anything else. Retro episodes, as you know, or maybe you don't know, if this is your first time listening, is that they're usually movies that we catch either like on Netflix or otherwise that are no longer in theaters. We decided to try and put out two shows a week every once in a while, not necessarily every week, but we try. And since we recently got over our 30th episode, we sort of took a break for Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day, everyone. It's a couple days ago, actually. But so can't necessarily call it a retro episode because this movie is fairly new. I heard about it a little while back. Excuse me. I was talking about it with my good friend Aaron Bond. Let me just go ahead and read the description and I'll tell you the story. This movie is called Regeneration. It's got a subtitle to it too, or Regeneration Music Project is what it's called, its full title. It runs 1 hour, 22 minutes, 11 seconds from beginning to end. It's not rated. I guess both by the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, and also the Hulu crowd. There's a option on Hulu where you can go Netflix style and rate from 1 to 5 stars the movie that you just watched, or the show that you just watched, or the series that you just watched, or whatever the case may be. It looks like it's too new to have even any rating at all. But the description of the movie reads thusly: 5 DJs turn the tables, pun intended, haha. Doesn't actually say that, that's my commentary. Turn the tables on the history of music. Follow DJ Premier, Mark Ronson, Skrillex, Pretty Lights, and the Crystal Method as they remix, recreate, and reimagine 5 traditional styles of music. Okay, let me go ahead and go down the list here. This movie was brought to my attention through the making of the Skrillex with the Doors, which is third in a mix of this sort of this documentary. It's not a sort of documentary, it is a documentary. So during the music video of Breaking a Sweat, which is featured in this documentary by Skrillex and the Doors, the music video itself is sort of a behind the scenes to the Regeneration Music Project documentary. So let me tell you why I'm interested in this movie. DJ Premier is huge for me. As a fan of hip-hop, which, by the way, let me start off by saying, speaking of hip-hop, I was supposed to go back and edit out. I wanted to have this sort of poignant moment. I had just woken up the day after MCA's death was announced. It was a Saturday. I was like you know, all scratchy in the throat. I hadn't even, whatever. Somehow I was so worried about mispronouncing his last name, which I probably did, that I got his first name wrong. Not sure why the name David was on the brain. I mean, that's my brother's name, but I said David Yauch, and it's Adam Yauch. And I wanted it to be this, like, poignant, somber moment. And as always, when I try something, I fail miserably. So that happened. So I apologize about that. But I was too lazy to go back and fix it. And the style of a week late podcast doesn't really allow for editing. We've done it once in the 30-plus episodes that we have out. I'm not going to make it a habit. So DJ Premier, I grew up listening to, you know, the Beastie Boys, and Nas especially is one of my huge, like, influences as far as writing is concerned. And DJ Premier was his main producer probably through most of his major albums. Not too sure when they parted ways. I know DJ Premier did some stuff with Proof or Royce da 5'9", maybe both. I think it's Royce. Royce is from, like, excuse me, the sort of the outcast of the outcast from the D12 crew in Detroit. Anyway, so you have DJ Premier. I know I can't get this scratch out of my throat, so excuse me, I apologize. Mark Ronson, I know. I'm going to kick myself for not knowing who that is off the top of my head. It sounds super familiar, but for the life of me, I can't really have it ring a bell right now. Skrillex, obviously, for those who don't know, well, I don't know, obviously. I don't know why I said that. Like I said, a lot of people think I'm a music snob. It sucks. It doesn't suck. I mean, it's just, you know, some people know sports. Some people know movies. I happen to know movies, worthless trivia about pop culture, you know, movies, TV, and a lot of knowledge of music. So if you want to call that a music snob, you know, I also play some instruments, and I have a lot of friends that are producers and DJs. I DJ myself, yada, yada, yada. This isn't about me. Skrillex came from a band whose name escapes me, but did pretty well, and then set his sights on the dubstep scene, just producing electronic music. Then you have Pretty Lights. I know I've heard of them before, or him or her before. These days it's hard to tell with the names if it's one person, a group, or, you know, a band or whatever. Little side note, A Day in the Life is a series that I'm watching also on Hulu Plus, which is why this is like a 2-in-1 episode. I'm not only reviewing a movie on Hulu Plus, but the service itself on the Xbox 360. So right now I have my 360 controller in my hand. I'm reading the description off of this sort of welcome, like, pre-menu, I guess you call it, where it gives you the description of the movie, how long it is, whether you want to add it to your favorites, add it or remove it from your queue, or play it. So A Day in the Life is a show that's exclusively on Hulu Plus. It's by Morgan Spurlock, and that beep you heard was Xbox signing me out of Xbox Live. Don't know why. So sorry for all the bleeps and blurps that you hear. I'm trying to get myself signed back in. What's cool about it is while you're actually on the Hulu Plus screen or in your queue, you can see the updates of your friends that jump online. You know, you can send messages back and forth while you're watching your movie. Some people might find that annoying, but at least you don't have to go all the way back out or stop doing what you're doing in order to ignore your friends. Or talk to them if you want. So, like I said, Pretty Lights is also in this documentary. I was going off and talking about A Day in the Life by Morgan Spurlock. He's the brilliant mind behind, wow, now I won't be able to remember any of his documentaries. Super Size Me, where he literally almost kills himself eating McDonald's for 30 days. Then from that idea emerged an actual show, I believe, on HBO called 30 Days, where he goes and does that. He finds people to do something that they're completely out of the box with. I think he had one time a full-on Christian live with two gay dudes. Stuff like that. I like Morgan Spurlock a lot. And you can watch, there was an episode on a dude called Girl Talk, and I thought it was a band at first. So it pretty much opened up my eyes, and it's Questlove from The Roots was on it the other day. It's got a lot of influential people that they pretty much follow them around for a day, hence the name of the series. The first episode of the second season, I believe, was Marc Maron. They've had a bunch of good ones since then. First season was real good. I think it was only 8 episodes. So the plus behind Hulu, my brother made a joke. We were watching something on Hulu the other day, and there were commercials. He goes, wait a minute, you pay for Hulu, and it has commercials? I go, yeah, it's Hulu Plus. He goes, what's the plus for, commercials? And I go, yeah, I don't know. Hulu Plus says that the $9 a month or $8 a month that you pay for Hulu Plus is subsidized by the ads, like it lowers the cost, yet Netflix is the same amount, minus getting the DVD shipped to you, of course. If you're doing a stream service only from Netflix, it's the same exact amount and they never get commercials. So I don't know what I'm really falling for. The only real benefit that I have with Hulu Plus is they have an app for my Android phone. It's awesome. I don't know why I just got disconnected again. It's awesome for, this happens a lot, by the way. I don't know if it's the Xbox. It's definitely not Hulu. Sometimes it could be the signal. I don't know what. But it's really annoying when that happens. Okay, so I was talking about the availability on my Android phone, pretty much to use anywhere that there's an internet connection available to me. Sometimes it's a bandwidth hog, and it takes forever to get stuff loaded, and then by then you're on the plane, and like it's sometimes not worth it. It's depending on your phone. It's definitely you know, a battery hog. Anytime you're streaming something, using the screen for that long, the only thing that takes up more than that is like playing a game on your phone. But I have Android, and they have a Hulu Plus app on that. I have an Xbox and a Wii at my brother's place. Hulu's activated on that. Sometimes I just take my what's cool about that is if you have the Hulu apps, or if you're sort of forward thinking, you can store your apps on the Xbox Live Cloud that they give you as a service. I think you have something like 20 megs. It's not a lot. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but they give you an X amount of storage space on the cloud, and you can store downloadable games there or apps there, or you can store them on your Xbox hard drive that you can, like, snap off with you and take with you. So all I have to do is swap hard drives when I get to any of my friend's house or family member that has Xbox 360, pop my hard drive on there, and I don't even have to – excuse me – as long as my profile is downloaded to the 360 that I'm using, I don't have to download anything. I don't have to sign in. It picks me up automatically, and I can go straight to watching. This is getting really annoying. straight to watching whatever I want as fast as it takes to turn on an Xbox. So it's pretty cool. So my expectations going into this movie are pretty high because I at least know three out of the five groups that are mentioned in this documentary. What happens is that each one takes on a different sort of genre or style and then melds it with their own. For example, the Doors mash up with Skrillex, and I believe that DJ Premier pairs up with someone from the New York Philharmonic, I believe, and he learns how to sort of conduct classical music, and classical music and hip-hop go very well together. It's really easy to string together, a hip-hop track or like a R&B track, like an 80 to 120 BPM or something like that, beats per minute for anybody that doesn't know. DJ Premier and Wu-Tang Clan do that a lot. They take, a lot of the classical music instruments, cellos, harps and stuff like that, violins, mandolins, and stuff like that. So it's pretty much following these different groups of people around and seeing how well they interact and get along with maybe someone that they might not have crossed paths with earlier. But I think it shows the progression of music, and I think this is going to be inspiring. I like documentaries that inspire. The only thing that's messing up my experience right now is the fact that all week I've been sort of planning to do this in my head for the bonus episode and the Hulu review, and no problems with connection, and now I go to record, and it's effing up all over the place. Also the Crystal Method. I know who they are. Not too excited about them, only because I used to live in the Midwest after I graduated high school while I was doing some military and some work for an electronics store that shall remain nameless. Crystal Method, I'm not knocking on them. They're definitely influential as far as the electronic music movement is concerned. They're huge. You say Crystal Method, everybody knows what you're talking about. And if they don't, they think that you're referencing a drug of some kind, which a lot of people thought that's what I was talking about back in the day when I mentioned the Crystal Method. But, I'm excited. The weird thing is, the thing I don't understand about Hulu Plus also is that it shows you the stars from 1 to 5, but does not give you the ability, at least on this app for the Xbox, to rate it from here. You have to go online and do it. Also, the weird thing about Hulu is that when you come across certain episodes, certain agreements with Hulu, which I don't quite understand, for anybody that doesn't know, Hulu is a joint effort between mainly Fox and NBC Universal. It's back and forth for me. I hate the fact that I have to pay $8 a month for it and that there are still commercials. So I'll be rating Hulu separately as a service and also the movie separately as a standalone movie. Again, keeping the rating from 1 to 5, just keeping consistent with rating anything on Netflix or Hulu. That's it. I'm going to watch this movie. You guys can listen to some music and maybe go watch it yourselves. If you're a documentary fan, if you're a music buff, those are the two top five favorite things. And it's one and the same in this experience. It's a documentary about music. So I'm excited. I will probably rate it when I go online later on. What I was complaining about was The Simpsons thing, specifically that. if I go and watch an episode of The Simpsons, even though I'm online with my Xbox and Xbox Live, it says web only. And it really bothers me because some of the stuff that I want to watch on a big screen isn't available, even though I am on the web technically. I'm accessing Wi-Fi to get my Xbox online so I can watch movies, which is being on the web, or mostly TV shows. This is one of the few times I use Hulu is to watch movies because it promotes more TV watching than it does anything else. I just don't get why they separate web only to being on a physical computer and not having access to the web only. I don't know if they know that's an issue or if it's even a thing that they consider to be an issue. I think it's an issue. I want to watch The Simpsons on TV like a normal person. I mean, I do watch it on my phone and I watch it on, you know, on PCs and stuff like that, but I just don't think for the money that you're paying that you should have ads and be restricted to what you can watch online, quotes, because now the line between technology and the way we used to view television, media is changing everything, so the line is being thinned out between what the internet is and what broadcast dish or satellite. Like, I even know, because we're also Dish Network subscribers at here, and we have the ability to watch the same thing online with through our Dish account, and even through some apps on Xbox, they ask if you're a Dish Network subscriber, you have access to apps that otherwise you may not have access to. There's a Fios app on the Xbox 360. Go figure. I will never understand that. For anybody that doesn't know, Fios is a fiber optic network that Verizon is installing around the state of Florida, I think, probably the whole southeast, and it's named after a fiber optic network that they're installing. So unless it just doesn't make any sense to have a Fios app on a device that's not being powered by fiber optics. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, so go catch this movie, listen to some music, and I'll be back for part two of a week late podcast bonus episode, Hulu Plus / Regeneration Music Project review. Damn. All right, I'll be back. Welcome back, everyone, to part two of a week late podcast, Hulu review / Regeneration Music Project review. Long title. I hope that's not going to be the the actual title of this particular episode because it's way too long. Welcome back. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489, and I would say that I just got back from watching the movie, although it feels like it. Through the magic of podcasting, a full 24 hours has transpired since viewing the movie, which is a first for me because, as you all know, or maybe you don't know if you're a first-time listener, we usually review the movie directly after viewing it. We go into the MRS and review the shite out of whatever we just watched, and for whatever reason it got kind of late, and as you all know, or maybe you don't know, I have a regular 9-to-5, as it were, as they say. And so I do myself a favor and give myself a bedtime. Re:Generation Music Project is the name of this movie. Funny enough, 24 hours later, I still have scratchy throat. So, what did I think about this movie? Funny enough, there are actually spoilers in this, so I'm going to give my rating of this movie, which I was talking about on the Xbox app. There's no, to my knowledge, there's no way to rate from 1 to 5 stars. So I liked the movie so much that I went on my online version of Hulu and I gave it 5 stars. Now, before everybody goes crazy, give you a second. This movie did meet my expectations, but per our system, we usually give, like, 0.5s or 0.875s or something stupid like that, in between, if you will. And I wanted to give this movie as close to a 5 as I possibly could, but I guess in the Hulu rating system, you're not able to give 5 stars or intervals between stars, I should say. And, if so many people, what happens is the obvious mathematics of it all then gives you the half-star ratings down the road once enough people have voted. The only reason I wouldn't give this movie a full 5, my personal rating is a 4.75. I mean, it was a great movie, very well done, and I'm going to get into my gripes and complaints, which is why I didn't give it a full 5. But for all intents and purposes, as far as Hulu Plus is concerned, this was the first time that I sat through something without it being interrupted by commercials. And it brightened up my experience. I was fully engrossed in this movie from the first frame. I love the way it was done. So for all intents and purposes on Hulu, this movie gets a 5 out of 5. It's as close to a perfect documentary as it can get. But for the following reasons, you'll see why I gave it a 4.75 star after 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's lame doing it by yourself. Now I know how Bill Burr feels when he's doing his podcast by himself. Crazy. All right. First thing that I saw that kind of almost burst my bubble right out of the gate was the fact that it said presented by Hyundai Veloster. And I said to myself, oh crap, I hope this isn't a documentary plastered with ads or any of the like. Spoiler alert, it's not. The only time you see or anything is mentioned of who put this documentary together is through what appears to be casual conversation. I'm pretty sure some of this documentary was scripted, or at least they were given maybe a sort of a outline as to what they were to do in a specific scene. But for the most part, and that's why it sort of loses a tenth of a point with me, is because I don't think 100% of the documentary was 100% real. But the way it was shot, it was beautifully shot. I should have done my research and to find out who directed it, as far as like cinematography wise. And I didn't do the research as to when this movie was actually physically released, but I do believe it's at least 2011, 2012 release. In the movie, I kept hearing them mentioning the movie, which sort of makes it meta in a sense. And so it's sort of like, okay, it is real because they know they're being followed around, which is obvious from the get-go. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts that the cameras are in the room. As a matter of fact, in one of the Skrillex scenes with, I believe it was the drummer of the Doors, the drummer of the Doors actually was on the fence about even working with Skrillex because he makes it a point twice in the movie to say that as a drummer, he's all for the human side of music and he's not certain, you know, back when he was a kid, they told him that the future of music was going to be one dude sitting behind a bunch of machines making noises. And literally when he says that, you know, Skrillex is sitting in front of his laptop and a soundboard in the studio, and then the drummer for the Doors, I told myself I was going to remember his name, and for the first time in history, I took notes, because usually in the theater, we can't take notes because it's dark, so there's that. anyway, homeboy from the Doors kind of kicks out the movie crew and says, you know, we'll shut the cameras off, we'll talk mano a mano, and if we decide to collaborate, we'll turn the cameras back on and do this. Which is crazy because his partners, the other surviving members of the Doors, when they first met Skrillex, they walked into the room. They said, like, maybe three things to each other, or at least that's what was shown to the audience. And right away, they just started, they put on the bare backbone of the beat that Skrillex had thus far. And within 10, 15 minutes, they were recording just riffs and, like, a jam session, pretty much, over a loop of Skrillex's beat. And it was really cool to just see them all, you know, spanning that generation gap and getting along and just clicking right away, sort of like the take one to know one element artistry of music production. I love this movie because this documentary, because this film, because it reminded me, it made me miss studio time. You know, as most of you hopefully know, I run a music blog, 489entertainment.com, or fenentertainment.com. It's like an underground local music site that has indie artists that I'm either personally friends with or have met throughout my promoting sessions throughout the past 5-6 years, probably more than that. I just used to go to the studio and get footage for, you know, people's sort of video montages on YouTube or whatever, promotional stuff. And a lot of times you'll have 15 to 30 seconds of these 8-hour-long videotapes that have just 30 seconds, you know, used out of hours of footage. And I remember just sitting through footage of hanging out in the studio, and it sort of made me miss the intricacies of what it takes to be in that business. You live in the studio, and you breathe in the studio and crap in the studio. Hopefully not where you're making music, but you're practically living there. And it's so cool to see the process of all these different musicians. Some I like more than others. Not to spoil it too much, I'm not going to go through every single thing, but the notes that I did take were kind of important. If you're a music fan, you're going to love the fact that, first of all, that The Doors do a song with Skrillex. It's great. Keep in mind that this documentary fully rotates around five DJs. It's nothing. What I wish they had a little bit more of was to differentiate which one was a... I don't want to say run-of-the-mill DJ, because a lot of people would call me that, and a lot of people would call most of my friends that. But most of my friends that are DJs also recognize the difference between a producer and a DJ. Some DJs are producers. Not all DJs are producers. Some producers are DJs. Not all producers are DJs. And it's the name. It's in the name. Producer is someone who makes the music. They're behind the whole production of the track. A producer does just that. They produce. And in, you know, I didn't know, what I did like about it was the fact that it shed the light on some artists that I didn't, A, know about, B, didn't care about, or maybe not respect for one reason or another. And I like that how it shed some light on, how one person would approach the method of collaboration, and how other people sort of treated it. So the only time I saw a sponsorship was at the very beginning, brought to you by Hyundai Veloster. Nobody said it, but it was there. And the Grammys, believe it or not, the Grammys, I guess the group behind the Grammys, whoever they are, that whole mess of people, brought this movie about, and that makes sense because I believe the same year all these DJs and producers were nominated, I believe, for Grammys. So for the music buff, there's a ton of people, way more than I thought there were going to be, a ton of famous musicians, some maybe more noticeable than others. For example, every DJ was given a style, a genre of music. Still not too sure what Skrillex's was. I'm pretty sure, for example, I mean, I know he does dubstep and stuff like that, but they were giving, like, Mark Ronson, they gave him jazz. They gave DJ Premier classical. They gave Pretty Lights country. They gave Crystal Method, I don't even know, was it funk? I have no idea. Mixed with some of Crystal Method, sort of. It was more of a remix than a collaboration. I didn't really, even in my note here, it just says meh. Like, it wasn't even really, I really didn't under, they didn't vibe as well. And I think because of the way they collaborated, they're kind of disappointed, but they did the best they could. I noticed a little big-headedness of one of the guys in Crystal Method was like, you know, we had to work our magic with what we had. It's like, that's kind of insulting to the person. Her name was Martha Reeves. She was, I guess, this big recording star that stayed behind in Detroit, I believe they were in. And, you know, they had walked around with her to sort of get a feel for where she's coming from. And, you know, I don't know, there was, I think with the whole Pretty Lights thing too, their collaboration, they brought in Leanne Rimes, this older guy, I wish I would remember his name, but he's sort of like a country legend, and he's got a bajillion gold records, and Pretty Lights sort of sat everybody down and was sort of governing over them rather than as a professional sitting down and letting them know that they're on equal levels. He sort of just kind of took over, and you could tell in the room it brushed everybody the wrong way, and the old dude came in, and Pretty Lights wanted to sort of let him know what he wanted, and the guy's like, no, I just want to do it my way. we're going to record and you're going to use what I give you. And the dude's like, well, that's not cool. So it actually came out kind of good at the end. They did this whole collaboration. It was really brilliant how they brought it together. There's a stack of records at the beginning, split up into five scenes where they're delivering all the different records to the producers, and they tie it up at the very end by having Premier sort of do this mashup collaboration of everybody's track. At the end, they had Mark Ronson. All of a sudden, you had, you know, they were assigning him jazz, and he was over in New Orleans. All of a sudden, you know, as a surprise or whatever, Erykah Badu walks in. Mos Def, actually formerly known as Mos Def, his name is Yasin Bey now. And then it was cool because, obviously, I had mentioned Nas and DJ Premier in the first part, and Nas comes up with DJ Premier. They've obviously worked together, and it was so cool because you had Premier that sort of had this this violin sort of hip-hop beat, and he gave it to this sort of maestro, and they had composers look at his hip-hop tracks, and they broke it down to orchestral notes and sheet music. It was pretty cool. And then Nas comes in, and Premier just loops the beat. And as one does, I don't know if any of you out there are musicians, but as one does, you just see somebody get into this sort of zone. And I loved watching Nas like write pretty much on a notepad, and I was taking notes on a subway napkin, and that's how I used to write. Back in the day, sometimes I still do. For those that don't know, I'm back into writing and promoting my friend Orlando. He goes by Solo350. He just put out a video with our sister promotion company, the production company actually, for the video, Head Knocka Fam. Just a shout out to them. So it sort of got me motivated again to let me know that I sort of made the decision to go back into heavy pushing for the music. Just saw Bond last weekend. He came up to Tampa for an interview that got axed, but it was cool that it happened in the first place. What I wrote here, I mean, that was pretty much it. I went through that a lot faster than I thought I was going to, but that's okay because I talked a lot in the first half. I wanted to point out a cool shirt that, in my opinion, that DJ Premier was wearing when he first met the orchestra that was going to be doing his track. For the longest time, people thought that I still get angry when people say that, you know, they listen to hip hop, and then I'll get in their car and they have like Master P on the radio or on their stereo, whatever, on their MP3, their iPads, whatever. And I'm just like, that's what you think hip-hop is? And they're like, yeah, it's not. And so they'll start naming other people that I might consider hip-hop. And some hip-hop that they consider hip-hop. And some of them might be hit and miss with me. Other ones will be just completeness. Like, no, whoever told you that music is hip-hop is misleading you. And there's a whole movement that, and even Nas has an album, I believe, called Hip Hop is Dead. It doesn't, the way we knew hip-hop is not existent anymore. It's still there. There's a different form of it now, and it's great. And this is helping bringing it back. But what I really brought out in this movie was generation. Everybody was talking about a rebirth of old music or keeping it alive. What sort of falls on the listener's responsibility is to do the research when they hear something and find out where that came from. Is it an original song, or is it bits and pieces made up of another one? Is it a remix? And then figure out what makes that. Unfortunately, in today's day and age, there's way too much music out there, and it's very hard for something to stay pure. But progression is also a part of any music genre, hopefully. But I like this because even though a lot of the people maybe didn't get along in the best ways, they still gave respect to the original source, the original material, and gave homage to the originators and where it came from. But what happens is when you play a song at a concert or a show and it just sounds good, nobody cares, nobody gives a shit if it's a remix or where it came from, that's where their musical journey ends. But I like this movie because it sort of lets you, as a listener, understand more along the lines of how music is created, what people go through, the creative process, and also this new thing that's sort of sweeping the globe is electronic dance music. Electronic music as a whole. Hopefully things don't get lost in translation and we don't forget where all this came from in the first place, but I think it's great. The fact that this one old country dude that I wish I could remember his name, people like his music so much, he had something like 96 versions from all these different musicians and composers throughout the years that have just, like, not necessarily ripped them off, but I wonder how many people have, you know, listened to a version of, you know, Louis Armstrong's Wonderful World, or any other version of that, and wondered if that was the original or not. Can't remember what it was, but there was an actual article, I think it was on Twitter, where a lot of kids, teenagers I should say, when Titanic was re-released in 3D, it really saddened me that a lot of these kids don't know that the Titanic was an actual ship that sank in real life. They just thought it was a movie that they were bringing back to life in 3D, and I'm like, really? This is saddening. It was just, it's tough for me to say out loud, but this movie sort of brings the generation that I'm used to, and sort of, oh, thank God that I'm not that special. I'm a little bit special, but Jesus, I at least know that the Titanic was a real ship. That's just, I don't know, that's just sad to me. Maybe I'm just that old. I don't know what's going on anymore. But, yeah, I'd say, anyway, I'm getting off topic, but the whole thing is explaining to people the difference. I've always struggled explaining to people the difference between rap and hip-hop, and it's hard to tell sometimes if you don't have a trained ear. This is where the music snob comes out. Because to the untrained ear, rap does sound a lot like hip-hop. If you stop to deconstruct it, there's a little bit more behind hip-hop than there is rap. But as far as lyrics are concerned, DJ Premier was wearing a shirt when he first met his orchestra that says, rap minus lies equals hip-hop. And it mathematically explained to me what I was trying to explain to everybody else, is like, if you want to know the difference between rap and hip-hop, just listen to the lyrics. And the truthful lyrics will come out, and you'll listen to a more complex musical background, and that's what that is as far as the lyrics are concerned. Rap minus lies equals hip-hop. I love that. I loved how at the end DJ Premier brought it all together and wrapped it all up. I was also going to, before I let you guys go, mention that I also have a Wii and have had the chance to download, it's hooked up in a different room to a bigger television. I've had the chance to review Hulu Plus app on the Wii channel, and it's actually pretty good. The only thing I don't like about it is the technical drawback of having a non-high-def system hooked up to a high-def TV and not able to view your television, Netflix or otherwise, in high-def if it's, you know, online hooked up to the Wii. So besides that, I guess depending on how good your Wi-Fi adapter is for your Xbox 360, and how good your wireless network is in general, you shouldn't have any issues with it. I rarely had any little skips or bumps, and like I said, this is the first time ever that I've ever watched something on Hulu and or Hulu Plus, because when Hulu Plus first came out, it was just Hulu. You didn't have to pay for it, and in some cases, it's still free. I'm not too sure. I don't know where they're going with this. Anyway, as far as the Hulu experience was concerned for this movie, I give that a, compared to all the other times, especially in the first section, when I was just talking and it logged me out three times for no reason, Hulu's been on this whole time for the second portion, hasn't once logged me out, so I don't know, maybe that's just a network thing, maybe I have shite for Wi-Fi, I don't know, but 5 for the movie on Hulu, 4.75 personal rating, because also I mentioned, or I wrote down, reasons why this movie could have been better. Needs more subtext and subtitles on locations, people, places, and things. Like, for the music buff who knew all the people in this movie, you don't really need but a name anytime a new character or a new person pops up on the screen. But when you're doing a documentary following 5 different people, you might want to give us a little bit of a reminder what city we're in and who we're following. That's the only real gripe I had about this movie, which is why it got a 4.75 personal rating for me. Hulu Plus as a whole is an experience so far. I'd say as a whole so far, the service, paying for it and the price that I have, I'll give it maybe like a 4 overall. For this movie, I give it a 5. That's a lot of ratings. But you guys get what I'm saying. I think that's it. I need to remind you guys that we are on iTunes. Please tell your friends about us. Have them, even if they don't normally listen to or use iTunes, if they have a username, have them subscribe, have them comment. They never have to download a thing, but it helps on the iTunes side. You can go to aweeklate.com to get all of our episodes for free, including all the bonus ones, and the Netflix review. The music blog that I mentioned earlier is Fen, F as in Frank, E as in Echo, N as in November, the word entertainment.com, or you can do the numbers 489entertainment.com, all gets you to the music blog. Hip-hop videos, independent local hip-hop videos from personal friends of mine, high-quality stuff, dubstep from DJ Aaron Bond, you can find there for free, a ton of his stuff for free there. We have independent rock, just a ton of stuff. Go over there if you like music, after watching Regeneration on Hulu for free. I am at Analysis489 on Twitter. You can follow the show at A Week Late on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/A Week Late Podcast. I'd like to thank all the people that have recently hit us up on there. We're back in double digits and climbing. As far as the likes are concerned, aweeklate.com. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to share with your friends. Always free. There'll be a way to donate later on. It's in the works. All right. Thanks for listening. Take care. We'll see you a week ago. I don't think that's ever going to catch on. Cheers. Hey, real quick, everybody, I'm back after recording the second portion. On Hulu Plus, there's at the top different tabs, if you will. The movie overview, related movies, clips of the movie. So I thumbed through to see what related movies or recommendations Hulu had. Some interesting stuff, more documentaries. I move over to the right, and I was talking about them not advertising at all. The two videos that the clips are referring to are both pretty much two-minute-long Hyundai Veloster commercials. They're done pretty well, documentary style. One follows DJ Premier's, actually Skrillex's studio engineer, and then the other one is DJ Premier's studio engineer. Like, they're running around town getting donuts and shite for, you know, these recording sessions or whatever. And I thought it was funny because I was, you know, applauding them for doing a good job, not bogging it down with advertising, but also applauding them for keeping the advertising separate. Of course, they do have to get the word out, not on their vehicle, but of the movie, barely described in it, but pretty cool how they did that. So I just thought I'd chime in as a sort of ironic twist because I was applauding. Well, I'm not going to repeat myself. All right, awesome. Late. I just said late. Just said it again. So I'm going to play one for you.
The following clip is brought to you by the 2012 Hyundai Veloster.
What I know about music is just the feeling you get. It moves you. Some of all it works. I started out as a DJ, but then I got into making beats. I want to be a producer. My name is Jeff Ladd. I'm DJ Premier's assistant / studio engineer. I have many duties, turning on all the boards, setting up mics, program the beats on the drum machine, just setting up shop. But yeah, working for DJ Premier is incredible. I've been a fan of him since 10 years old. He was like my idol. We talk music, we talk beats, like, you know, DJing, whatever. Prem introduced me to the road test. Every car sounds different. It's a good level tester. Blast it, check it out, making sure everything sounds good. If not, come back to what you gotta do. New York City is definitely inspiring. First of all, hip-hop is born here. You know, that's where it all started. I've learned a lot of stuff from him, definitely. He wants me to see what really goes on behind the scenes. Not a lot of people get to see that. So to have him compliment me and co-sign me, that's all the inspiration I need.
Okay, so it said directed by Amir Barlev, I believe is how you pronounce it. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a feel on what that was. First of all, the advertising of the movie, and if it or for the car that wasn't even in the movie, in the documentary, but it was done in good taste. And that sort of just gives you a feel of the whole movie, the sort of narrative of it. So there you go. Check it out.